ओम शांति। गुड मॉर्निंग। आई एम श्योर मोस्ट ऑफ यू हैड रिमेंबर्ड, बट इफ यू हैडंट द सॉन्ग वुड हैव रिमाइंडेड यू दैट इट्स एक्चुअली टुडे इज द डे द एनिवर्सरी ऑफ दादी प्रकाश मणि। The refrain in the song kept talking about Dadi Prakash Mani, but also all her qualities. And when we talk about the Dadis or some of the Dadas, yes, we're celebrating their life, we're honoring their qualities, but it's more than that. It's the recognition that these are the souls who have followed in Brahma Baba's footsteps, and they were very human, like you and me. And so, human beings reaching the stage that we then saw they had achieved means that the door is wide open for all of us to do the same. They were with Sakar Baba for 33 years, and so at every step saw how Baba dealt with situations, with people, with circumstances, and they learned from that. But with Brahma Baba, we would always say that, well, partly is that Shiv Baba was present in that chariot. But when it comes to the others, they're very much human like you and me, effort makers, making effort to move forward in life, except that they did it at a different pace, at a different speed. And so we saw them move to their stage of perfection in a way that was amazing. And in fact, for most people, you wouldn't have seen a transition in Dadiji. You would have just seen her in that pure state that she was in. But some of us saw her move through those different stages to come there. But today, definitely, her life is a tremendous inspiration to everyone. I'm curious, who did not meet Dadiji, Dadi Prakash Mani? Quite a few, which is what I expected, but I didn't ask who did meet her, because I think the majority did. Who met Dadi Prakash Mani? Definitely the majority. We were very, very fortunate. Not only did we meet her in Madhuban, but she came to London many, many, many times, more times than I can count. Sorry? Okay. Yes, she came to Oxford, but also, yes, here. And at one point we had three Dadis on the stage in Oxford. I don't think anywhere else in the world outside Bharat has had that fortune. So Dadi Prakash Mani, Dadi Gulzar, Dadi Janki, all three of them. And literally, it hasn't happened anywhere else except in Bharat. In Bharat, of course, many places. So, but also I want to give you greetings for Janamashtami, because that comes exactly a week after Raksha Bandhan, and so tomorrow is Janamashtami, and it happens to be a bank holiday. So you can have a day celebrating with Krishna, but today definitely Dadiji's day. And we talk about the three qualities of Brahma Baba, the qualities that Baba spoke in the Murali, the last Murali: Nirakari, Nirvikari, Nirankari, the incorporeal, the viceless, and the egoless. And so, yes, keep those three qualities in mind and definitely following in the Father's footsteps becomes much, much easier. Just take that step by step and there'll be huge transformation. And the Dadis followed Baba in these three qualities. We're thinking about Dadi Prakash Mani. There are three very specific qualities that really show up in a big way. Purity, royalty, and honesty. And then there's a fourth one that comes to mind, humility. But in a way that's condensed within the others. And so that is purity. Dadi was 14 when she surrendered. And think about those days in the subcontinent generally, and Sindh in particular, very, very secluded, very, very patriarchal, but also a situation which was very, very different to today, in which really children were brought up in a space that was clean, that was pure. Of course, today where there's internet, there's always the good, but there's always the negative also. But that world in which things were very, very simple and clean. And from childhood, she had a lot of love for Krishna. And when she came to see Baba, her parents said to her, "You must come, you'll enjoy this." So when she went to see Brahma Baba, she didn't see Baba, she saw Krishna. And of course, that feeling of total love and surrender was her life. I remember one day she said to a group of young sisters, "Make sure you don't sell your heart to anyone." She said how in the streets of Hyderabad, where she had grown up, there would be people who would come selling dahi, and they would carry it in this earthenware pot to keep it cool. And so they beju, they beju, they beju, we're selling the yogurt. They would go through the street making this cry so that people would know they were around. And she said, "Sometimes I see some young folk and they say, 'Dil bejo, dil bejo.'" So she would give that example. And so she would tell, especially the young ones, that make sure you don't sell your heart to anyone. Very powerful instruction. And that was her life. Her father was an astrologer. He was a businessman, but astrology was his passion. And he had predicted that the child who was born at that time, her name was Rama, that she would actually be one who gave her life to God. She wouldn't be a family person or a householder, but she would become one who was surrendered to God. So when she made the decision, very quickly, after seeing Baba, she instantly decided, and her parents were very comfortable. It was like they'd been prepared already, and so they knew that this was to be her life. And throughout her whole life, one Baba and nothing else. A huge amount of love for everybody, but her heart belonged to one. She would have been 40, just calculating quickly, 48. She would have been 48 when I had decided to surrender, but this was in Mahabaleshwar. It wasn't a retreat in the sense that we know it today, but it was more to do an exhibition in the city hall, and it needed, there was no center there. And Baba had said, "Let there be exhibitions in all the hill stations all over India, there are many mountain areas and hill stations where in the heat people go off to the mountains to be in the cool. And near Bombay, Pune, that area of Maharashtra, the hill station was Mahabaleshwar, and a lot of people would go there in the summer months, but everywhere in India. And so Baba said, when they're in the cities and they're busy, they don't have time. But when they're on holiday in the mountains and the hills, they have lots of free time. So do exhibitions in every hill station. And so many, many happened that year, summer 68. And I'd just been 6 weeks studying Raj Yoga, connection many years, but the study. And Daddy Janki in Pune said to us, why don't you go to Mahabaleshwar, where Daddy Ji is, and there's an exhibition happening, and you'll enjoy it. So we came there, and it was a boarding school which was empty in the holiday season. And so they had taken this school, boarding school, and 40 people, 40 of us were there. And it was like a retreat almost. And I remember one particular scene, sitting outside in the beautiful fresh air in the mountains, and Daddy was conducting Amrit Vela. And she already had white hair, 49 years old, 48, but she already had silver hair. And literally, she looked like a deity sitting in the moonlight, because 4 o'clock the moon was still out. And I'm sure that many could have had visions of her as a goddess, really looking amazingly beautiful, conducting yoga. And the way that Daddy read the Murali would literally make everyone dance. Hearts would sing, hearts would dance. Why? Because she read it with such deep love for Baba and filled with the memories of when the Muralis were spoken first in Sakar Baba's days. So, an amazing instrument. And Baba said, she is the mic. Didi, Baba said, she is the might, the powerhouse. And Daddy, the mic, the microphone. And so she became the face of the Brahma Kumaris all over Bharat especially. But also, she traveled across the world several times, including a visit in 1977, her first visit to the West. And of course, London, she had an amazing impact. Anthony Strano, many of you know him, he had just taken a course, but it was actually also, he'd heard a radio interview about Dadaji's coming, and he'd phoned, when is this person coming? And we'd said, well, she's coming in a little while, but if you want to come, you can come now and study, and you'll be more prepared for what she has to offer. And so he then took the course and just flew through the course. And he always related how when Dadaji gave her first class in London, she pointed a finger upwards and says, yoga means connection with one, no one else at all. And he said that she put it in such a powerful way that he knew it was the truth, and that this is what he needed to do, to find out more about God and to be able to connect with God in this way. So, I mean, that's just one story. But the other story about Daddy, there's a person who was very close to the family, and this person had come for the welcome program. But I don't know what happened after that. Then one day, 2 days, this person didn't come, and I was very surprised and a bit concerned, and there was no response to phone calls. So I decided one morning, a couple of days later, that I'd drive to this place, which is quite far away, and find out what's happening. And Daddy asked me where I was going, so I told her. She said, You can't help that person by rushing around. The way you can help that person is to be completely silent, completely quiet, and send Baba's light. I hadn't heard this word, Mansa Seva, at that time, but basically she was teaching me Mansa Seva. And so that's what I did. Went to Baba's room and just sent out Baba's light to that soul, and then just did whatever was in the timetable. And sure enough, that afternoon and evening, that person came. And I didn't ask what had happened or what had gone wrong. Something must have happened, but that person came. And so it was a big, big lesson for me that the power of silence can do more than running around. And so it's a lesson that all of us have to learn, but it takes us time to learn it also. But also Daddy went to New York at the invitation of Jyoti Ben, and Jyoti took her to the UN headquarters there, and Daddy just saw the flags of the different countries there, and she said, one day Baba's flag will fly here. 1977, and it took a few years to stabilize the center in New York, and then in 82 we had Baba's office in New York, and of course you've seen how Baba's work has flourished, and the support of the UN, we supporting them, they supporting us, has really put Brahma Kumaris in the world map in a very big way. When Brahma Kumaris received the status of general consultative status, it meant that there was something that the Brahma Kumaris were able to offer to every single department of the UN, so general consultative status. We were the only Indian spiritual religious organization to have got there. I don't know today, maybe one or two others, but certainly for many, many years we were the only one. And Dadiji's far-sighted vision made that happen. Today Baba's talked about how there has to be such purity in the intellect, such a clean intellect, that you're able to connect and understand what Baba wants you to do. Well, Daddy was a fantastic example of that. 1,000 stories about that. But one in particular, when the first group of double foreigners arrived in Madhuban, 1974, and then after that, slowly, slowly, the numbers would grow, and today there's literally hundreds and hundreds. But her focus on giving those little band of people, sisters and brothers, her focus was so powerful. She could see the future. She could see this was the group that would be the instruments who would do world service. And most of those instruments are still active in that role. But it was her drishti, it was her love, it was her big heart, it was her spontaneity, it was her lightness that inspired everyone to move forward. Daddy Janki didn't come to Madhuban till much later, 1978. And then Daddy would be there also. But in those early days, when it was just a handful, it was Didi and Daddy who gave everyone such amazing sustenance that what they would learn from Madhuban would inspire them to do so much outside Madhuban in their own countries. Just imagine one individual going to Japan and saying, I'm going to start a center. They didn't speak the language, they didn't know anybody, but they just went with that inspiration. Or going to France, all the centers across Europe, it was one individual or two individuals who went off and started centers. And these centers now have hundreds of students, and some still have just a handful, but many like Spain and Holland and Portugal, France, Germany, hundreds of students. So Dadiji, giving them that love and sustenance from Madhuban, made them understand what service really is and how to be able to serve through your thoughts, your words, your actions, because they'd be seeing that in front of them all the time. And when service would start in new countries, Daddy would stay in touch with London on a very regular basis. Later it became every day that Dadiji and Daddy would speak. But even in the very early days, she would want to know exactly what was going on in those countries. How were they managing? What help and support could Madhuban give them? And so it was that concern for the detail. Not just, oh yes, there's service happening there, I'm sure it's going fine. But she would want to have all the information and the details so that she could give proper guidance for each one. So her vision was not only Madhuban, not only Bharat, but the world, truly. When Baba left, we had 460 centers in Bharat, nothing outside Bharat. And we had mostly the dadis were looking after the centers, and of course it was also a few younger ones who'd been trained up. But Dadiji, after Baba became avyakt, had a mission. And when you hear Baba's murli today, you also see how it was Baba who was touching her and inspiring her and supporting that vision. But her vision was to train teachers. And today we would have, I think, around 20,000 trained teachers in Bharat. I don't have the figure for the world abroad. We don't keep a list of surrendered people in the way Bharat does. But in Bharat, 20,000 fully surrendered sisters and about maybe 10,000 brothers. And how did all that happen? And how come Baba's work is able to continue without the dadis being physically present now? It was Dadiji's vision. Dadiji for Bharat and then Dadi Janki abroad. And Dadi Janki, every country should have local teachers so you're not dependent on another country. And so Dadi Janki did that work outside. But in Bharat, trainings and trainings for young sisters, for Kumaris, many, many trainings. And until the last final few years of Dadi, Dadi knew the name of every single teacher in every single center. And that was again her love. A big, open, wide, generous heart that wanted to support everyone. But also through the teachers, then of course the students. So I'm sure that all of you have very personal, very sweet memories of Dadiji. But enough from me now, because there's a few things that we have in mind before we offer pork.